a lot of money. We impacted the Portland Spirit. We did restaurants with dine-arounds. We did OMSI. We did wine tours. So we impacted the city all over and the surrounding area. About 75% of my income comes from working with the convention groups. I'm lucky enough to employ people that have been retired or whatever in the hospitality industry, and I use them as an on-needed project basis. So when we talk about building this convention center or the hotel, I have been waiting since I was the very first meeting into the Oregon Convention Center. So I've waited a long time. I'd like to see it happen in my lifetime. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is David Hamilton.
And I'm the co-owner of America's Hub World Tours. I live at 7400 Southwest Barnes Road.
We don't need your address, just to, for everyone else.
Okay.
Just because Chair Hughes did that doesn't mean everybody has to do it.
Okay,
we know where
thanks.
He lives, too.
Okay. We're a small tour company here. Very small. We started our company about 7 years ago. And we're very fortunate in that several of the largest convention groups come in, the Elks, the Barbershop, and several others we work with. And our tour guides that work with these groups, they not only show them the downtown Portland area, they actually take them out to the neighborhood. So whether it be the restaurants or the local shops, what have you, northeast, northwest Portland, southeast Hawthorne, we take them throughout the entire city. So I think the majority of the city actually feels the impact of the visitors that we connect with and take out. But a big key to it is simply the convention visitors that come. That is really the lifeline currently. And so I actually do a lot working with Travel Portland, Travel Oregon, to on cabs and fam trips. With meeting planners coming in, trying to help to convince them to come to Portland and see the surrounding area as well. And it was a challenge because each and every one of them, first thing, it's, well, you don't have a convention center hotel. And it doesn't matter whether we're sitting round table or we're out to dinner, but it always comes up. And that is the number one issue. But I look at it simply as this, not just the jobs for the people that work with me, but for all the other companies and businesses that we take these guests to, they're impacted. So when we don't have the conference groups here, my phone is ringing. People are wondering, where are the visitors? And we're talking about a lot of people. I think this past week, I've been gone in Japan, but I think they've had about 400 to 500 visitors that they've taken throughout the city in different areas. But I guarantee you, in a couple weeks, that's going to drop off, and the phone's going to start ringing again. So I have an invested interest not only to my company but to the city to help to grow tourism, but in addition to that, it's the jobs. It's the ones that we just don't see here in this room, but we try and connect those visitors to every part of the city, which is the key. There's one group, the American Society of Associations, that hopefully in the future we may have a chance to work with them, as well as many others. So I hope that you work to support.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, the citizens of Portland. My name is Kimo Bertram. I head up development for Hyatt's full-service hotels west of the Mississippi. I'm here today to reaffirm Hyatt's commitment to the development of a convention center headquarters hotel and to the city of Portland. Hyatt began these discussions over 4 years ago about the possibility of bringing this project to fruition. Over this period, we've extensively studied the hotel market here in Portland. We've eaten at your restaurants. We've stayed at your hotels. We've enjoyed your wonderful wine and beer. Basically, what we've done is spend time enjoying the unique and interesting culture that makes Portland an interesting place to go, and it's why people want to come here and visit. And fundamentally, that forms the basis for which Hyatt believes this project will be successful, and it's why Hyatt wants to be here in Portland. You know, Hyatt Development looks at hundreds of deals in a given year all over the globe. Only a handful of projects meet the standard in which Hyatt would consider a corporate investment of this magnitude. And really, we see three major reasons why we think this hotel will be successful. First, the Oregon Convention Center is a high-quality facility that is currently underutilized, primarily due to the lack of a headquarters hotel. Our experience with the development of the Hyatt Regency in Denver, which similarly lacked a headquarters hotel, gives us confidence there will be a significant increase in the attendance of conventions at the Oregon Convention Center upon the completion of this proposed hotel. Hyatt, through our national sales organization, is committed to assisting Metro and Travel Portland with increasing attendance at the convention center. As we understand, the success of the convention center and the proposed hotel, they go hand in hand. Second, we believe that the building of a headquarters hotel, which is projected to attract over 190,000 individuals annually to this hotel, will act as a catalyst for the development of new restaurants, retail outlets, and entertainment venues in the areas immediately surrounding the convention center. We envision this area will become a Portland neighborhood which locals and visitors will seek out for restaurants and entertainment and emerge as another reason for people to visit and travel to Portland. Third, Hyatt customers want to visit your city. Portland is a top requested destination by Hyatt's group and transient customers, in which Hyatt doesn't have a full-service hotel. This project will benefit from Hyatt's robust national sales organization, and when completed, will not only be the first full-service hotel in Portland, but be the first full-service hotel in the state of Oregon. Hyatt is confident that we will be able to bring new Hyatt loyal customers to this hotel and to your city. The development plan crafted by Mortensen, Hyatt, in conjunction with Metro and Travel Portland, will result in a high-quality hotel that strives to meet the employment and hiring goals set forth by the city, the county, and Metro. The large room block outlined by Metro and Travel Portland required to successfully attract new conventions, and this hotel is projected to be the rate leader for large hotels in the city of Portland, all the while incorporating the character of Portland into this hotel. Building a hotel that incorporates local products and caters to the needs of the local community is an important part of making a hotel successful, not only here, but throughout our Hyatt chain. Hyatt is committed to building a headquarters hotel in Portland, and urges you to vote to approve the amendment to the Visitors Facilities IGA and authorize the mayor to sign the MOU. Thank you for your time.
And there are going to be a number of questions, Mr. Bertram. Thank you. Okay. One that let me just take right off the bat, which has the concern about rates. Although it may or may not be practicable to include a rate floor in the MOU or the other governing documents, you know, that's a primary concern that all of us have heard in the community is that what about the scenario in which, due to a decline in the convention business or the intervals in between conventions, there's a temptation for you or anyone as an operator to drop rates, thereby undercutting the existing hotel stock in the city. You've heard this concern before. How do you respond to it?
Sure, Mayor. Well, you know, when I look at the investment of this hotel, there's a significant private investment and a public investment. Now, the private investment outweighs the public investment by a significant amount. The incentive, therefore, for us is to maximize the revenues at this hotel so that we can maximize the profitability of this hotel. You can look at governance and that's one way to look at it, but we feel that properly incentivizing the parties to maximize revenue is by far the best way to handle this issue. And further, we feel that given what I've just spoken about and the projection that the area around this convention center and the Lloyd District will become an entertainment district inside Portland, further gives us confidence that we can not be undercutting rates, but be the exact opposite and be leading the rates for larger hotels in Portland. And that's the way we've underwritten our investment, and that's how we believe this hotel will perform.
So your investment pro forma doesn't allow you to drop rates significantly?
Well, our investment pro forma is our best guess of how this hotel will perform, given what we know today.
Right. Can I follow up on that, Mayor? Because I appreciate you raising the question. So my understanding is that when the airline industry has a plane that's not full, they will often discount fares because they'd rather have a body in the chair than run an empty plane. And it's interesting, and I don't want to keep picking on the Oregon Restaurant Lodging Association, but they did put their concerns in writing, and I think it's only fair that you get a chance to respond. They referred to this as likely to be a loss leader and posed the question, how will we prevent rate decline? So according to the Oregon Restaurant Lodging Association, they believe that something inherent in this deal makes it likely that you will be a loss leader. And the concern is if you're a loss leader and bring your prices down, it will impact other hotels. And you know that some of your competitors, prospective competitors, have raised this concern. Now, your response back to us has been you're making $180,000 investment on each door, that Hyatt has very high standards, that you want to be a rate leader. And obviously, we want you to be successful because it generates more revenue. But the concern is still there, and there is at least an experience from the nines, and I don't know whether it's wholly grounded in fact or has become part of the mythology, that when the nines, a publicly subsidized hotel, came online, they did discount their rates and impacted the rate floor for the industry. So this is an area where your assurances to us in response to the mayor's question goes a long way towards our confidence that in crafting a deal that does have a public subsidy, we're not, in effect, picking winners, putting some of the other hotels who've been here a long time paying the freight at a competitive disadvantage. So I would welcome your, at least, response to the Oregon Restaurant Association.
Sure. Well, first, maybe I should clear the record that, you know, the Nines Hotel today is leading the hotel market in Portland in rate. It is the clear rate leader among branded hotels in Portland. So it's doing exactly the opposite of what this group has charged that it has done in the past. Hyatt's a public company. We have shareholders to answer to, and our charter says that we are trying to maximize shareholder value, and that requires that we operate our hotels at the very sort of highest end that we can. Our underwriting has our hotel, if it was open and stabilized today, between $30 and $50 higher than the downtown hotels. And that's because of a couple of reasons. One is that it's a new product. We will have great meeting space and attached to the convention center, and that the Lloyd District will continue to grow and become an entertainment district unto itself.
And just one other follow-up, sir, and we've had this conversation privately as well, and I appreciate how forthcoming you've been. One of the things that we've learned up here, particularly where we don't have a crystal ball and don't have your expertise, is that we like to trust but verify. Mm-hmm. And so one of the proposals we talked about to get at this question of whether there is a competitive advantage that we're giving to one operator over another was to see whether we could craft a rate floor or some mechanism that addressed the concern. And I'm persuaded, based on lots of conversations about this with staff and you and others, that that's not feasible. But there's another way we might be able to get at that problem without setting floors and other regulatory measures, which is currently we get aggregate data about occupancy and blended rates for the hotels downtown. And my understanding is, as we speak today, it's something like 75% occupancy, something like $138 of blended. I think one way this council might have more confidence that we are monitoring this and making sure that there is no unfair competitive advantage is if we were able to get on some agreed-upon frequency data on occupancy and the rates, the blended rates at the hotel, to kind of compare with the market. And if something's really out of whack, that would give us an opportunity to say, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that some of that data is you may consider proprietary, but without binding you to how we do this, because I'm going to talk to Andy about this in a little bit, are you open to the concept of sharing with the regulators here some of that data so that we can over time track whether or not you're above or below the market?
Sure. Fundamentally, I don't. I don't think it has an issue with that concept. We would have to, you know, there's since we're a public company, there's certain disclosures that we may or may not be able to do. And we'd, I think, want to understand the confidentiality agreements that might need to come along with that type of arrangement. Currently, I understand that with the collection of the transient lodging tax here for the other hotels, there is some confidentiality that happens with that. I think we would just, it's an issue that we would need to work through, but something that we'd be open to discussing.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Thank you for being here today and for your work on this. Hyatt hasn't always been known as friendly to union labor. I want you to know that, but for the advocacy of the Unite Here members who came into my office and told me about what you've been doing, what you've been willing to do here, that I wouldn't be considering this. And so I appreciate that you are acknowledging that that's a value that we have in Portland, and also the LEED certification and the local labor, those kinds of things. And so I just commend you, and I hope that that becomes a national pattern.
Thank you.
Following up on that, first of all, I appreciate your response to Commissioner Fish's question, because I think having that data would be very helpful. I, like Commissioner Fritz, am attracted to this deal in part because of the advocacy of Unite Here. And your promise of labor peace if we build this hotel. I am curious about something, though. You've indicated that that Portland is a much requested destination for Hyatt customers, which indicates that, you know, that, which suggests to me that even if we weren't building a convention center hotel, Hyatt might consider building a hotel here. And I'm wondering, is the fact that it's a convention center hotel with a public-private partnership essential to the idea of labor peace in a Hyatt hotel in Portland? I mean, can we assume that if you built a non-convention center hotel in Portland, there would be labor war?
I sure hope not. and I wouldn't imagine that it would be. And I, you know, it's a hypothetical question that I haven't considered, and that, you know, there's nothing that would lead me sitting here today to believe that that would happen.
And there was sort of a national agreement between Hyatt and Unite Here earlier this year that covered a number of locations, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Further questions for Mr. Bertram? Thank you very much. You're next.
Thank you. Hi. My name is David Welch. I own, rather co-own, Lincoln Restaurant in North Portland. We're really close to the convention center, and convention center business is a really important part of our business model. I'll digress and say that we're mom and pop shop. I own the restaurant with my wife, and that's it. With that in mind, we're really fortunate to have an organization like Travel Portland, because it allows mom and dad the opportunity to throw our hat in the ring and work with convention center business that would normally in other cities go to large chain restaurants. And so it's a really, really important relationship that we've seen grow as convention center business grows, and it's something that we're keenly interested in making sure continues. We just know that as convention center business grows, us as a locally owned business, we know that our business can grow from that.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Any questions? Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next four, please.
Are Terry Parker, Ben Martson, Melissa Espinoza, and Dave Moore, and they'll be followed by Andrew Stoltz, Joe Rastatler, Tom Chamberlain, and Laura Williams.
Parker, good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Terry Parker. I'm from Northeast Portland, and I apologize. I don't have a copy of my testimony today. My computer is down and in the shop. In the quest for a new convention center hotel, Metro is promoting the concept that more people will travel to Portland from Chicago, New York, and other eastern cities to attend conventions cited at the Oregon Convention Center. Metro is also suggesting that numerous convention goers will also travel to many of the tourist destinations that are within a two-hour driving distance of Portland, such as the Oregon Coast, Willamette Valley Wineries, Columbia Gorge, and Mount Hood. This is a reputable objective in that higher rates of personal mobility significantly contribute to greater economic productivity and vibrancy, which in turn generates higher wage jobs. However, with the region's anti-car mindset for local residents, it also sets up a double standard. A healthy, sustainable economy cannot be based on service-type jobs alone. 8 to 10% of the jobs in the U.S. are tied to the auto industry, many of them family wage, industrial component, and private sector jobs. An environmental challenged, anti-driving, anti-car mindset is undoubtedly a major factor as to why household incomes in Portland and Oregon lag well behind the U.S. average. I say environmentally challenged because per data published as early as in 1999, the new technologically advanced cars coming off the assembly line use less energy per passenger mile as measured in BTUs and produce less emissions per passenger mile as measured in pounds of CO2 than riding transit, and that includes Portland. Additionally, driving is subsidized at pennies per mile, while public transit is subsidized at over 60 cents per passenger mile. With all the push and job speechifying for a new hotel, Metro is sidestepping its own officiously implemented limited mobility mindset to promote long-distance travel for convention goers. Each of the 600 rooms, when rented, will increase VMTs, unsustainable transit use, and more than likely increase individual airline miles to and from PDX that have a similar carbon footprint to driving a reasonably full fuel-efficient car the same distance. In that no additional rental car taxes are specifically directed to help pay for roads, and that TriMet fares only cover about 25% of the operating costs and near zero of the capital costs. And since it is likely a significant number of hotel guests will also use public transit with a free pass, what is the ongoing burden of cost to local taxpayers for all this convention air travel? In closing, if the project moves forward and without a direct means that requires convention goers help pay for local transportation infrastructure, the local stakeholder motorists that fund the majority share need to be viewed as a hierarchy for the first in line to use Portland area streets and roads. Secondly, with the push for a new travel-based 600-room Oregon Convention Center hotel, thereby setting up a double mobility standard that includes various degrees of impacts on both roads and public transit, equity needs to be balanced for the people who live here by eliminating all the drive less programs, road diets, any potential carbon taxes on motorists that are discriminately aimed at Portland metro area residents who drive and want to travel here locally. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, councilors. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Ben Marston. I'm a member of Unite Here. I've been in the service industry for 20 years. I'm also the president of Oregon Pride at Work, which is a queer labor group. I have worked at Portland Center for Performing Arts for 10 years as a bartender. And I think I may have served a couple of you a drink here and there. I'm currently on a temporary leave to serve my union as a full-time organizer. It has been my honor to serve the many people who visit our facilities every year. People like me are literally the face of our city. We are the ones who do the work that makes all this money for all these people who own businesses and hotels and such. We are essential to that. I see the city's investment in this project as an investment in the community and the workers here who, just like me, just one big convention at OCC makes a huge difference to us. Workers at PCPA have an offsite agreement that allows us to get work at OCC. Thanks to our union contract, those hours go towards our qualifying for health care and other benefits. This agreement is crucial in event-based work because sometimes you have no work for weeks at a time. The Amway Convention, for example, comes in the summertime when it's really slow for theater business. This one big convention makes it possible for many of our workers to survive that slow period. Just one. And we're talking about adding 5 to 10. I can't even imagine what impact that's going to have on us. You are faced with the choice of serving the interests of thousands of hardworking, low-income people or the interests of a very few rich people. This hotel could really change people's lives. It is the right thing to do for the service workers of this city, and I'm urging the council to pass the amended agreement as it stands. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming. Thank you. Next.
Hi, my name is Melissa Espinosa, and I'm a worker from the Hilton Hotel. I'm a member of Unite Here. I do room service at the Hilton. And, you know, I, as an immigrant from South America, I've done all kinds of jobs when I came to this country and non-union places. And I work really, really hard making minimum wage, not being able to have any health care or any kinds of benefits. Finding this job at the Hilton, you know, it really changed the way I live. I was able to, you know, finally see a dentist after many years of living here, you know, going to the doctor, save money, move out of the basement where I was living, be able to support my family in South America. And so I'm here as a worker talking to you. I know that these are going to be good jobs, and people like me are going to have the opportunity to, you know, to have decent wages and better working conditions. So I support 100% to this hotel to be built, and I'm asking you to vote yes.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Moore. I've been an employee at the Convention Center for approximately 20 years. I'm a food and beverage supervisor. I'm a full-time worker, but even as a full-time worker, I don't get a full 2,000 hours a year because of the event-based business. This hotel being built would be a huge impact for me personally as well as my fellow coworkers if this hotel was built. Work is fairly steady, but there's significant gaps of time off during the year where I don't get enough hours to support my family. Workers have extended time off in the wintertime and the summertime. This past summer, we had a full month of work, which was great, followed by about 2 weeks off. Right now, today, we have a 100-person group in there for a facility that is under 1 million square feet. You know, in the past, I've known of events, and just like the gentleman with Travel Portland said, the fact that they have people telling them, you know, groups that they cannot come here because the hotel package is not good enough. I'm in constant contact with clients all the time that tell us how great we are. And in fact, we've had groups come, offshoot groups from groups like OSCON have brought more technological groups to our facility. But then we have other groups that say we can't come back because of, you know, the hotel. So the impact of this hotel would be great to bring in more business. You know, I'm trying to support a, you know, family of wife and three boys, and when we have downtime, it's a big impact on us. And I know it's a big impact on all the other employees and whatever their situation is. You know, the building has really tried to be progressive in the years that I've been here. They've stayed ahead of the curve with what the customers want, from technology to sustainability. OCC has had a pulse on customer service thanks to staff in all departments. A lot of the reasons why we get repeat business is because of the staff. You know, they come back for the facility, for the city, but it's how we treat them. And so, you know, it's important to us to bring these people back and to now get new business. You know, we want to move forward. We had an expansion in 2003. You know, why did we expand if not to bring more people here? So in conclusion, you know, I want you to strongly consider this hotel because we're ready for it. Thank you.
Thanks.
So I go to a lot of events, and I've been to events at each of your facilities. The service is always excellent. And I also thank Unite Here for your partnership on the protected sick leave.
Yeah. Thank
another
you.
Benefit that will be happening, yeah. Right?
Ditto to that. You know, one you call it a side effect of our jobs is that we don't have normal hours, and we probably eat more at your establishments than we do at home. In fact, I was in the Convention Center last Thursday night, as was Commissioner Fish, for the Hispanic Heritage Dinner, and spent a lot of time at the Hilton and at the other PCPA facilities as well. And It's the quality of the food and the quality of the service for somebody who's there frequently or for someone who's there occasionally. It's always impressive to me. I have a hard time figuring out at home how to serve four people a hot meal. It's good to eat. Your ability to do it to 500 constantly amazes me.
We hear that comment constantly, and what people don't understand, people that don't know anything about the food and beverage or the convention business, is that it is a real process to serve a high volume of people, and especially when things are going at the same time and different groups in different locations. So it's quite a process, and I feel we do it well.
You do. It's clearly a very skilled workforce that you're leading, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next four, please.
The next four. Andrew Stoltz, Joe Ratstetter, Tom Chamberlain, Laura Williams. They'll be followed by Ron Hebron, Clay Herring, Harold Paulin, and Chris Oxley.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. All right.
If you're ready, you can be first.
I am.
Okay, thanks.
Mayor Hales, members of the council, thank you very much for your time. It's good to see you again. Your speech last night, or what was that, Thursday night at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce was very nice.
Thank you.
Always good to see you, and it's a pleasure to have local members of city government working with myself and my coworkers, and that makes me really happy. That is awesome that I can be part of something like that. Anyways, my name is Andrew Stoltz. I have lived in Portland for about 4.5 years. I've been with Aramark for 4 of those years. I've worked at PCPA. I work at OCC. I work at the Expo Center. I work at the zoo. Everything I do has been my livelihood and lifeblood and connected with the city, and that has made me very happy. So thank you. Anyways, the building of a convention center hotel is the next step in Portland becoming the destination city of the Pacific Northwest. I'm a union employee at Oregon Convention Center, and knowing that the possibility of this hotel assures me that many jobs will be created, my coworkers and I will have an opportunity for more work, and others will as well. This will improve my life. It'll improve others' lives. It'll improve the life of the city. We're going to have potential visitors worldwide coming to Portland. They want to come here. You know that. And don't kid around. It's going to raise the standard of living for myself, my coworkers, the rest of these people sitting at this table, for you. Are we going to be comfortable here? Yes. If something like this happens, yes. And so why not? Let's do it. My employer, Aramark, yeah, we have an agreement with Hyatt. And so this cooperative process to use our employees at this flagship hotel is going to ease the risk of labor disputes throughout the city, and not only effectively attract businesses that would be scared off by something gross and disgusting and god-awful, like labor disputes. Do we need that? No, I don't think we do. So let's avoid that. We've got it in place. Why not? I'm represented by Unite Here, Local 8. And those people will be as well. So those jobs, they're going to be guaranteed to be protected and provide a living wage for people that otherwise don't have an option for something that you can actually live for. Like, I mean, really, come on. I work with hardworking people that are struggling every day. Every day it's something. It's when I go home from work, I have to do work to make sure that these people are going to make it to the next day. And it's difficult. It's rough. But that's just how it is. But if we can do this, at least we can ease something from that aspect.
You're over time. Thank you. You need to wrap up soon.
Yep. Anyways, potential jobs on the community would help ensure Portland's continuing success. And I believe in that, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Joe Rastatter. I'm a co-chair of the Portland Jobs and Justice Faith Labor Committee, and I'm a proud member of Unite Here Local 8. Much of my life work is as a community organizer, a peace activist, and a supporter of performing arts, and I also have a fun job. I work as a ballpark vendor. I sell beer and peanuts at games and concerts and stuff. And matter of fact, I started in 1966 and sold a 25-cent bag of peanuts at the Portland Beaver games. So I got that going. Now much of my work is in Seattle, where my union membership promotes contracts for a livable wage. And as a union member, I also enjoy being in relationship with the housekeepers, cooks, and food servers, many of them women, people of color, and recent immigrants. I've been in front of this city council before dealing with some justice issues at PG Park, Geldwin Stadium and stuff, and it turned out to be a rather flawed fair wage ordinance, but I still will make the point that there are some people now. One woman cried when I told her it was going to kick in again a few years ago, and the difference between $9 an hour and $11 an hour, which is there, just makes a heck of a lot of difference in our community. So it's been a real pain for me over the years to observe certain business owners with their consultants and lawyers and with the support of some elected officials conspire to withhold just wages. And so I'm glad that my union is being proactive in this deal with Hyatt, and I believe this is the time we can get it right. I definitely urge you to support it because there is a fair process in place that will facilitate workers to join unions. So I'm a firm believer in the adage that the best anti-poverty program is a union contract. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. I assure you none of us shared notes, but it does all sound the same.
You're a peanut vendor too?
Right. But I'm a banquet server at the Oregon Convention Center, and I've been employed
there. Give us your name for the record.
Laura Williams, thank you. Been employed there since 2006. And I remember one of my first, about a month there at work, because I was low on the totem pole, just being hired, and they would post the work schedules on the board. And there was a lot of times I wasn't on it. And a salesperson, she wouldn't know me from Adam, walked by, and she could tell the disappointment in my probably body language that I wasn't going to be working. And I remember even 2006, she was like, "You'd be working if we had a convention center hotel," and you know, and just kept walking by. And I was like, "Wow, really?" You know. And since then, I've been thinking about this, knowing that this is probably a good possibility that this could be happening. So I'm super excited. I love my job. I love the opportunity to serve people of Portland, people that come to visit Portland. You know, to see their excitement in their eyes of what they experience from Portland. You know, I get paid well, but we work very hard. As you heard, you know, it's seasonal. So you know, when the work is there, we work. I have three children. Because of my union job, I've been able to save for college. My two oldest children have actually worked at the convention center with me, so they know what a good union-paying job means, and I hope that that continues in their life, that they can always expect what they deserve in this work field. You know, I know that more events are going to be coming to Portland because of this hotel. I'm ecstatic for the fact that Hyatt has agreed that these will be good union-paying jobs. It means a lot. I know a lot of workers in doing the exact same job I do in non-union work, hotels, and they really have to decide on whether to pay the electric bill or to put food on their table doing the same job I do, and I don't have to worry about that. So I encourage you to support the IGA as it stands, and I really thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks. Thank you. Afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon. My name's Tom Chamberlain.
No, come on.
Is it on? Oh, there we go. Good afternoon. My name's Tom Chamberlain, and I'm president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. And the best part of my job is I love to be upstaged by workers because no one tells a story better than a worker. The only thing I will add is the city of Portland, Metro, and the county did an excellent job to ensure that the jobs created by this project are high road jobs, high wage jobs that will add to our community. I just came back from a convention in Los Angeles. 2,000 people. Now, Los Angeles is nice, but it's not Portland. That convention could be in Portland in the next 4 years. So I recommend that you support the IGA as written. Thank you very much for working with us on this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you all. Appreciate you being here.
The next four are Ron Hebron, Clayton Herring, Harold Pollan, and Chris Oxley. And they'll be followed by Gail Castillo, Jody Getzlow-Parker, Norman Curry, and Tim Ramis.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
You can take it away while they get settled.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Councilors. My name is Ron Hebron, and I submitted a comment for the record, so I'm just going to say that I support the project going forward.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Mr. Herring.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, my pleasure. I am Clayton Herring, Chairman of the Board of Norris Beggs and Simpson Companies, owner of a small restaurant called Trader Vic's, and I'm pleased to be here to support the Oregon Convention Center Hotel. As I sit here as a taxpayer and listen to the elephants, I feel a little bit like an ant in this process. But I sincerely believe that watching public investment by our elected officials in things like energy, alternative energy, which is well-received politically but not well-received from a business standpoint, and yet we debate to the bitter end on an opportunity that takes an underutilized convention center that creates future development opportunities in the surrounding Lloyd Center. I think the new owners of the Lloyd Center are licking their chops. American Asset is already committed on the super blocks. I, as a business owner, look upon this opportunity. If you can bring 100 to 120,000 people into Portland, I'm going to figure out how to get my share. I think those who are competitors are short-sighted and not thinking that as these people come to this great city, and it is, and our brand is high, thanks to the Oregon Ducks and others, really, I think people want to come to Oregon. I think this will enhance, and we have this opportunity in an interest rate environment that couldn't be more attractive to fund bonds. B, you got one of the most respected and recognize hotel brands in the Hyatt. You've got a piece of privately owned property that is virtually paying no income tax or no property taxes. Going to create a $200 million addition to the tax rolls. And here we are, a state, one of five in the union, doesn't have a sales tax. It's a no-brainer. Let's build this convention center. And let's all in Oregon, because I believe it will, said earlier, have a ripple effect across our entire state. People will migrate out. People will say this is a great place. And believe me, I believe that a high percentage of them will bring their families back and stay in those other guys' hotels.
Herring, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You're related to a former ambassador, is that correct? So here's my question.
I can only say that there are only a few things that I can really claim as successes, and those are my children. One of them is a former ambassador.
So, Mr. Herring, the Oregon Editorial Board, two or three occasions now, has said, admonished local government to scrub the deal and make sure it's a good deal for taxpayers. You are someone who regularly challenges us to be very scrupulous in using public resources. So your voice matters in this debate. And do you believe, sir, as this deal is structured, that we have built in enough protections for regional taxpayers if, in the unlikely event, this deal does not pan out the way it is forecast?
I commend the players who participated in this transaction. I think Metro Executive Hughes said it correctly. Of course, there's risk. But I believe this is a very manageable risk that's been mitigated by the way you've structured this. You got over 60% private funds invested. You have a modest amount of public funds. And you have a new revenue stream to pay off the bonds, which is probably the one risk that I think is a palatable risk based on the players, based on Portland, which I believe in, and based on the scrutiny that has gone on by all of you, and I commend you for that.
And I'm glad, Clayton, that you focused on the 60% investment by the operator, because one of the things that gave me a heartburn about the Oregon Sustainability Center when we had that debate is that we had a lot of players in the community coming and saying, do the deal, it's a great deal, we applaud you, but they had no skin in the game. And 60%, to me, says that they have some confidence in this
deal. Skin in the game, a lot.
Skin in the game, so appreciate your comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, members of the Commission. My name's Chris Oxley. I'm the Vice President, General Manager of the Rose Quarter. It's good to see you again. On behalf of the Rose Quarter and the Portland Trailblazers, I'm here to speak in support of Council action to adopt the IGA that is before you today regarding the OCC Hotel project. As neighbors of the Convention Center and industry partners, the Trailblazers and the Rose Quarter have a strong working relationship with OCC. We've partnered together on event projects over the years and share a commitment to improving the Lloyd District neighborhood. As stakeholders in the Lloyd Business Improvement District, the Convention Center Hotel has long been a priority for us. It stands to build upon the Convention Center's success and will enhance its competitiveness. The hotel project, led by Metro, will benefit local businesses and improve the environment for development in the district. As you can imagine, we are strong believers in the economic impact of sports, entertainment, and events. The proposed 600-room Hyatt Regency could also benefit the Rose Quarter as an events district. While ancillary to the direct benefit to the Oregon Convention Center, convenient hotels and available room blocks are critical to many of the sporting events, major sporting events that we bid for on behalf of Portland every year. Lastly, we support the city's new allocation and its potential to enhance our collective investment back into the Rose Quarter. We certainly appreciate you all recognizing the value of public assembly facilities in our city. These amazing venues allow us to provide the stage to showcase our city throughout the world. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you. Mr. Poland, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Commission. My name is Harold Poland. I'm the owner of three hotels at the Portland Airport, totaling almost 500 rooms. I've been in the hotel business for over 50 years, and it probably looks it. The idea of having a headquarters hotel at the Convention Center has been on the table for more than I can tell you, probably about 25 years. It was always unknown that a Convention Center without a headquarters hotel would be operating on fewer than all of its cylinders. And it has. The opportunities during the last 25 years to get a headquarters hotel development have been many, but they have not been ones that have proved successful. My belief is that the measure before you will create a successful development of a headquarters hotel. And I'd like to just comment on a couple of things that you've already heard, and I don't want to be take too much time. Number one, the fact is that the Convention Center will benefit tremendously from the headquarters hotel. Number two, those of us in the lodging industry will benefit very, very much from the headquarters hotel, even though 600 rooms added to the supply in the city of Portland will be a possibility of some dislocation in all the rest of the hotels. But that, I believe, will be very temporary. The ultimate benefit will accrue to all of us in the lodging industry and all who benefit from tourism generally, primarily the retail businesses, the restaurants, the attractions, as well as the lodging industry. And that benefits all kinds of labor, all kinds of input that it takes to run a hotel, that it takes to run any business. The idea is that it will make a great engine even greater, and it will maximize the public benefit from its investment in the Convention Center in the first place. It was $65 million was originally the amount that was sold in bonds to finance the Convention Center. Over $100 million was invested to expand the Convention Center. There is a substantial public investment that we don't want to let go fallow. A point was made earlier that if we do not increase the attractiveness of our product by doing this hotel, then we are going to lose business and not stand still. So the idea is, let's move forward. Let's not go back to a time when the competitiveness of Portland was not good. Let's make Portland competitive with any city in our region and any city in our tier. And I urge you to support the project.
Thank you. Questions for any of these gentlemen? Thank you all. Appreciate you being here.
The next four are Gail Castillo, Jody Getzlow Parker, Tim Ramos, and Michael Birch. And then they will be followed by Tim Craig, Ryan Hike, Shirley Burke, and Paige Richardson.
Good afternoon.
Gail, have we given you enough plugs for your dinner last Thursday?
Yeah. No, it was very nice. Very nice. Thank you all.
Mayor and I were honored to sit at your table.
Just for the record, there were over 600 people there.
That was great.
You could hardly have chosen a better speaker, too. Very inspirational.
Thank you very much.
Well, Gail, take it away, please.
Thank you. Mayor, commissioners, my name, again, for the record, is Gail Castillo. I'm president of the Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber. So I'm here to testify in support of the Oregon Convention Hotel. The Hispanic Chamber, our board of directors, strongly supports the building of this convention's hotel. This project leverages private development that's already been mentioned here with low-cost financing to create jobs, boost the state's tourism industry, and enhance the regional economy. Nearly 3,000 jobs are expected to be created in the construction and hospitality industries, and an estimated $11 million in state and local taxes will be generated each year. I want to point out that Latinos are highly represented as workers in both the construction industry that will build the hotel and also the hospitality industry that will continue to be present for the operation of the facility. Therefore, we see this as a very important project for our community. In addition, this project will stimulate other investments in the area that you've already heard about. And I want to point out that the Hispanic Chamber knows from personal experience how important the role of this hotel is for our community. We, for example, tried to recruit our own national U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce to come to Portland to bring their convention here, and we got laughed at. And they said, the national president said, Gail, how can you expect me to bring our convention here when you don't even have a convention hotel? We would be spread all over the city, and we're not busing people around. So although we were hurt, disappointed, et cetera, it was a personal experience that we had, and it just strengthened our resolve to be here today and help you support this important project. Again, the convention hotel will protect our past investments, improve our livability, and create good jobs. We urge you to support this important project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Birch, welcome.
Mayor, commissioners, thank you for having me. I'd like to say thank you to the Metro Council and their staff for bringing this hotel back to life. We've been around for quite a while. I'd like to go on record saying that the Carpenters support this hotel the way you guys have laid it out. We'd really appreciate the IGA going forward. There are thousands of Carpenters that are working in this city right now, hundreds that would go to work on this job. I'd also like to say that I'm represented by Representative Frederick and Commissioner Chase. I live in this neighborhood. There's nothing more rewarding than giving someone a job that pays good money, that has benefits, that will take care of their families, and giving them a job like this, which is a career for us. There's nothing more rewarding than seeing that person go home at the end of a day, then a week with a paycheck in their pocket, that they don't have to have two or three jobs to work to make their ends meet. We've done quite a bit of work on these community benefits agreement and other areas of the city. We're working with Mortensen now and some of the staff to see if we can't have this agreement on this project as well, which you know means lots and lots of people in this community going to work on this hotel. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can I just follow up on something you said?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned the community benefits agreement, and this city has partnered with you and others to actually implement a community benefits agreement on some capital projects that we're involved with. So
yes, sir.
You said you're in the process of discussing that with Mortenson. Are you making progress? Are you optimistic?
I'm optimistic. We have not had a first meeting yet, but they, at the open house for Metro's first open house on this project, we spoke with the equity officer. She was interested in hearing more about the CBA, and I'm optimistic.
Would it be helpful if this council reaffirmed its desire to see the kinds of policies in place that include apprenticeship opportunities and other training programs for particularly underserved communities through one of these processes?
It would, definitely. Yes, we'd love to be able to use you as a reference, without question.
Well, we can't be at the table bargaining with
no,
you.
No, of course.
We can be a reference to the extent we partnered on a similar agreement at right. the city level and seen some positive outcomes.
It's very successful, I might add. And thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Getzlow-Parker, welcome.
Getzlow-Parker, congratulations on the name. Jody Getzlow-Parker, Columbia Pacific Building Trades. Thanks for having us in today to talk about this important proposition. Columbia Pacific Building Trades rises in support of the resolution, the Memorandum of Understanding, the IGA, the hotel, the agreements, the, you know, and when you read through those documents, you will find strong language to employ apprentices, women, minorities, small businesses, the whole gamut. It's very good. Suffice it to say, I don't have a page full of notes. I hope you can appreciate this. I have a lot of hearts and some X's, and so you know, I really love the idea of this project. It puts a lot of construction people to work. You know that we've survived through the Great Recession, and we have seen an uptick in building, and we love the commitment to build. I think we're going to build our way out of this. Let's move forward on this and continue down that path. It creates opportunities within our communities, and we just continue to work towards that. I have a little side note. I appreciate, sir, your pointing out that the funds will come out of the Portland budget, and I donate wherever possible. So thank you.
Thank you, Jody. Mr. Ramis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For your record, my name is Tim Ramis. I'm here today on behalf of a coalition of Portland hoteliers. Early in this process with the RFP, many hotel operators in the city supported the concept. And in those days, the project was subsidized at a rate of about 5% of the total project. As you know, that subsidy has ballooned now to 40%, which in the view of the industry changes substantially the risk-reward proposition involved between the public and the private operator. At this point, the developer obtains a $200 million asset at a 40% discount. That discount is covered by the public, who are responsible for the bond payments, and in effect stand as the guarantor of the performance projections provided by Hyatt, even though those projections are secret and are to be held secret according to Metro's secrecy pledge in the proposed deal points. That type of secrecy is exactly the sort of thing that would lead most prudent people to have pause about an investment on their own account, and yet you're asked to jump over that point and ignore it. The question we've been asking is, are there other paths forward that might lead to a more balanced approach to the project? And there are two I've been asked to suggest to you. One is to use the RFP process to revisit the market. The market at this point has only seen a 5% subsidy proposal. And so no one else out there other than Hyatt has seen a proposal that would allow subsidy up to 40%. So we don't know if there's someone out there who would do a 20% subsidy or 15% subsidy project, and we should know that. And it's quite easy to obtain that information by simply revisiting the market with a different RFP. Alternatively, the approach would be, that we would suggest, would be that you use the MOU that's before you to push for some amendments to the fundamental agreement. And there are four provisions I'll bring to your attention and ask you to consider. One is to reject this idea that if the pro forma isn't met and the tax revenues are not there, that the budgets of entities like the Center for Performing Arts will be put at risk. Instead, ask Hyatt to step into that